Howdy, gang. Philip here, thanking you for listening to the podcast and reminding you that if you've been listening to us talk about our jobs and been thinking, oh, gee, I'd like to start my own podcast about my job, well, you can. It's free and easy through podcasters.spotify.com. You can make your own podcast using just your phone. You can distribute your podcast all around the world, everywhere podcasts are listened to, not just on Spotify, but it can be distributed through Apple Music and Amazon as well. And what's more than that is you can even use it to create ads like this one and make a little bit of extra money as a side hustle to your regular job. So what are you waiting for? Pull back the curtain at your workplace or at your school and use the power of podcasters.spotify.com to educate and organize.
Support for the PCTA Fire podcast comes exclusively from listeners like yourself. If you appreciate the work we're doing, please show your support by sharing the podcast on social media and leaving us a 5-star review on your preferred podcast streaming service. Thanks once again for tuning in, and without any more delay, let's start the show. Hi, I'm Brennan Pickett, and I'm a 7th-year high school English teacher. I'm also in my 2nd year as the FEA Director and Fire Co-Chair for the Pinellas Classroom Teacher Association. Since January 2023, I've been recording a podcast with my friends and colleagues. In it, we share our perspectives on a variety of subjects related to public education. We do this as a way to participate in our union. Our union is the PCTA, or the Pinellas Classroom Teacher Association, Local 7452. For everyone curious on how a teacher's union operates, allow me to explain some of the logistics. Unions collect money from the workers who elect to join it. These are called dues. You have to pay dues to be in a union, so the union can provide necessary services to improve the workers' quality of life. Once a month, the PCTA holds what is called a faculty representative meeting, where elected worksite leaders discuss, organize, and vote on efforts, events, and ultimately decide how the organization will spend its money collected by the dues our members pay. However, these dues do not go solely to the PCTA. They are also paid to our affiliate unions, or larger state and national unions that share the same beliefs and values as our local. If you're in a union right now, chances are you also have an affiliate. The PCTA has 3 affiliates that our dues go towards. Our state affiliate is the Florida Education Association, or FEA. Our national affiliates, yes, we are one of the few states with 2 nationals, are the American Federation of Teachers, or AFT, and the National Education Association, or NEA. Often, many members ask me why. Why are we affiliated with so many other unions? There are a few different answers to this question, but in one word, I can say survival. You can look at what I call the boring adult answers, like how affiliates offer perks and benefits that our local might not be able to provide, or how they can help out with the financial and legal hoops the local has to jump through to stay in operation. However, as a teacher surviving in Florida currently, and for the purpose of this series, I want to focus more on the power of being affiliated with national and state unions and how through state and national organization, unions have managed to stay in operation through this type of solidarity, despite a union-busting onslaught from governments and corporations. On a scorching July afternoon, 2 friends of the pod, Dr. Anna Margiotta and Kelsey Donegan, joined me on an Amtrak ride from Ybor City's Union Station, 2 hours through Central Florida, until we arrived in Orlando and Ubered to the Rosen Center for the annual NEA Representative Assembly. Think of it as a 4-day convention. I have been to union conventions before. The prior year, I was a delegate at both AFT and FEA's conventions, but it was Anna and Kelsey's first time. I'm making this short series to capture our impressions of the convention and ultimately discover our final conclusions on how important these conventions are for the labor movement. Is this a good use of the dues we pay as members? How important is our participation as Florida representatives in the NEA? We started recording on the Amtrak train itself. It was pretty funny watching the confusion of train attendants as we set up the equipment. Cords and microphones all over the place and stretching across the aisle in the front of the train car. For the record, we did ask if they wanted to join us, but they politely declined.
We're rolling right now.
On the train again.
So make sure you guys are speaking like this.
Yeah. Got to talk real close to my mic.
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Nice. Mm. Sick.
All right.
It's train time. Sorry.
You're good. Hey, guys. You're listening to PCTA's Fire Podcast. I'm Brendan Pickett. I'm the FEA Director and Fire Co-Chair at the PCTA.
I'm Dr. Anna Margiotta. I am an AP Chemistry teacher.
I'm Kelsey Donegan. I'm just a guy.
Right now, we're just guys. Yeah.
We're just guys.
We're guys going to a union thing.
Hey, we're on a train.
Train time.
We're train boys.
We're on a train. I started the conversation by asking Kelsey and Anna what they expected from the convention. I figured it would be a little hard to completely comprehend what our specific role as representatives entailed. Nonetheless, I was interested in the banter.
I have been to the Halloween music festival before, so I'm expecting it to be a lot like that.
A music festival?
Yeah. Like the fire spinners.
The Halloween one specifically just like that.
Like a light forest.
Can you elaborate on what that looks like?
Is Odessa playing at NEA?
No.
Oh, that's disappointing.
I have been to other conferences before, but not any union ones. I'm expecting my favorite part of the conference is going to be hanging out with the people there, and I'm probably going to spend a lot of time pretty bored on my laptop, but I will be taking notes, because I am...
Note-taker.
A note-taker.
Even I wasn't sure what exactly I'd be doing. The AFT and FEA conventions were unique in their own right, and we were told we would be caucusing with FEA. But I was most excited for the experience I was about to spend with two work colleagues and unionists who I greatly valued at my school. I did begin the series with a serious intent, but it was easy for us to switch to who we were as friends. So in a way, I feel I'm also documenting how to continue growing relationships into a meaningful movement.
So dumb.
Hot soup.
So this is also my first time on a train in Florida.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've been on a train in Florida before. This is a pretty cool train. First I've been liking it.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm
having a great time.
Always wanted to take this train. My wife has taken it from Boca Raton.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always taken it. I might take this from now on to Orlando because I-4 is a mess.
If you get on the Amtrak train in Florida, I highly recommend you spend $7.50 and get yourself a ham and cheese and mustard pretzel sandwich.
Oh.
It was delicious.
I had a Hebrew hot dog with mustard.
I tried to order an Asian noodle salad, and they didn't have that. And then I tried to order a cream cheese on a bagel, and they didn't have that. So I just have a packaged blueberry muffin that I will be eating eventually.
But
I mean, whatever. I love it.
I mean, that looks a lot better than the what was the stromboli we had at school that one day.
And I thought you'd be a stromboli guy because
there's
a stromboli on the menu.
For you listeners who haven't been in public school cafeteria in a while, every now and again they'll serve a stromboli that's a hot dog wrapped in a slice of cheese with a little bit of bread around it, served with a side of not marinara. But
salsa?
Oh, yeah,
salsa. I forgot.
They're like, it's a tomato sauce.
It's red.
It's the same thing.
This is stromboli.
Okay, so, Anna, compare and contrast your father's stromboli to the school stromboli.
My dad's stromboli does not have hot dog in it.
Okay.
He has a variety of meats and cheeses, not just, one of something terrible.
Okay.
And we don't dip it in salsa.
Okay, if we're going to find... You know that little, tiny oval that goes in the middle of the Venn diagram?
Yeah.
What do they have in common?
There is cheese.
Okay.
There is bread.
Okay.
There is meat.
It
is rolled.
So it is a stromboli.
It's rolled. I mean, technically.
I don't want to just also... So I want to, make clear, I have eaten our school lunch several times.
It's awful.
I have, an account in the cafeteria. And I want to say, all the people are lovely, and I have had some good food there. I'm just roasting this one specific meal.
But at the end of the day, we were delegates, whatever that means. And we were on our way to vote on national union leadership and policy, whatever that looks like. But we're having a great time hanging out on an Amtrak train to Orlando.
Which we're all elected, by the way. We're all elected delegates by acclamation.
Listen, if
we're
you're
important.
Yeah, if I can be elected to do anything, then you can accomplish whatever dreams you have ahead of you.
Hello there. If you support the podcast, you can now donate directly to us from the link in the description. You can donate 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99 monthly. Your donation can help get me, Aziz, off the streets.
Well,
Unfortunately, Aziz will always be on the streets. He yearns for the streets. But your support will go towards producing high-quality episodes just like the one you're listening to right now.
Your support helps us keep gas in the tank, food on our tables, and our classrooms full of pencils and paper. We all know edumacators all over America are undervalued and underpaid. Help us, mooks like me, continue to bring recognition and a voice to education professionals.
Hey guys, it's Brennan. One of my goals moving into this podcast project was to have the voices of our listeners play an active role in sharing our message that Union's Public Schools, well, they're not going anywhere without a fight. And as we dive deeper into the themes of public education, teachers' unions, and political activism, we want to hear from you, our listeners. If you're a teacher, parent, even a member of the community, we extend an open invitation for you to send us a voice recording with your name, occupation, and why you're sticking with the union during these politically turbulent times. We love to play these recordings at the beginning of our episodes and share your thoughts with our listeners. You can send these recordings to PCTAFIRE, that's F-Y-R-E, pod, at gmail.com. Additionally, we encourage you to write to your representative and advocate for teachers' unions and public education. You can easily locate your representative by visiting www.myfloridahouse.gov/find-your-representative. Your voice can make a difference in supporting education and the future of our students. So take a moment to send us a voice clip and write to your representative. Let's work together to positively impact education for all. Later that night, we made it safe into our hotel room. Kelsey and I shared one while Anna was in a different room shared by another delegate from our local. It was pretty late after a long journey and multiple escapades, so we were a little exhausted recording this segment. And now we're in a hotel room, and we explored the conference center a little bit. Kind of know where we're going to go tomorrow morning.
We raced through the lobby, didn't we?
We did go for a race in the lobby.
I remembered that.
Yeah, yep. Kelsey won.
Surprisingly fast. I will stand by and say he's fast.
I'm nimble, high dex.
I think Brennan and I were very close. I'd say we tied. I don't know.
I think it was too full to sprint, though. I don't know.
We should do it again.
That's what I'm trying to say.
We have to race again tomorrow.
Yeah. I think we should do it like maybe midday.
Sounds great.
After lunch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At any time.
Yeah.
Okay. With a little bit more context based on where we were staying and what the convention center looks like, I wanted to pick Kelsey and Anna's brains on what they think tomorrow might bring.
We're going to wake up so early. We're going to wake up so early, but we're going to eat very yummy breakfast.
Yes.
And then we're going to go to F/G ballroom in this gigantic hotel. Mm. And then we're going to, Kelsey and I are going to see what this is all about, really.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big meeting of people talking about union things.
What does that mean to you, union things?
How to make life better for the teachers, how to, like, negotiate, I would assume, like, how to do the negotiations and stuff.
Okay.
Figuring out, like, what we specifically want in terms of, like, what progress we want to prioritize, you know? Like, and I'm just thinking about money, personally, a lot, you know? Probably most people are, how to get more monies for us.
And tomorrow we have to meet with our caucus. The Florida caucus, and we have to make decisions with them and vote on what we think our state believes in. We represent Pinellas County. It's pretty cool.
I hope we talk about it being okay to say gay.
We should push that forward.
I'm probably going to be very frustrated, I think, just thinking about how life is in Florida right now for a lot of tomorrow.
I think frustration might be a common sentiment we might feel.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I've been to two of these now. And a common sentiment I feel is like, yeah, we're like yelling about it, but what are we actually doing about it? You know, but that's part of like the whole showcase. It's like, look at us. We're so great. And everyone claps and stands up.
And you said there's going to be a lot of people talking and stuff. And like that will, I'm sure I will be annoyed at sometimes tomorrow at like the amount and things people are saying. But also I do like, even if it is like echo chambery and like we all think this and we all want this, you know, like it is always good to hear other people like put words to the ideas so we can know how to talk about it better.
And it feels good.
Yeah.
As someone who's been through two of them as well, like, you sit through these like motivational speeches and it's, you come out like feeling positive, a little optimistic, I think, sometimes.
Mm. That's good. That's hopeful.
So, are you excited for anything specifically tomorrow?
I'm excited to share this with you guys. You know, I've had fun the last two times. And I'm happy I can bring people from my school to experience it with me and hopefully inspire you guys to get more involved with the union. So it's a good time. I'm always optimistic and I'm looking forward to what tomorrow brings.
I'm kind of wanting to see if I can get a like an impromptu arm wrestling tournament going on.
I will challenge you in that.
That'd be great, right? We could figure out all of FEA, all of any TEA. We saw T. We could go head to head against T.
FEA versus T.
Yeah. FEA versus T. Illinois is here in this hotel.
After I said Illinois is not in the hotel.
Precisely, yeah.
The three states, we have to put up our best arm wrestler.
That'd be really fun. Yeah. I would love that.
On the next episode of this multi-part series, we encounter Biden propaganda, convention food stalls, and get to business with the NEA. If you enjoyed the episode, make sure you share it with your friends and family, subscribe, and leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or any streaming service. We would like to remind our listeners that the Pinellas County School Board has scheduled upcoming meetings for the following dates: August 22nd, September 26th, October 10th, and November 14th at 10 a.m., as well as August 1st, September 12th, and October 24th at 5 p.m. It is of utmost importance for teachers, parents, and community members to attend these meetings and actively advocate for public education. We would also like to emphasize that the PCTA is currently engaged in negotiations to secure higher salaries for our dedicated professionals. Your presence and voice at these meetings can have a significant impact in helping us achieve our demands and foster a better educational environment for all stakeholders in our public schools. We extend a special thank you to Phil Belcastro for providing our captivating theme music, and Artifact for contributing fantastic tracks during our intermissions. If you haven't already, be sure to check out Artifact's music at artifactjoints.bandcamp.com. Furthermore, we want to express a heartfelt gratitude to our dedicated staffers at PCTA, Jamie Beck and Brian Boughton, our esteemed executive director, Lindsay Blankenbaker, PCTA president, Lee Bryant, PESPA president, Nelly Henez, and all of our supporters within the podcast community. Your unwavering support and dedication has been instrumental in keeping us motivated for the challenges ahead. That's it for today. I'm Brennan Pickett. Peace out, guys.
Howdy, gang. Philip here, thanking you for listening to the podcast and reminding you that if you've been listening to us talk about our jobs and been thinking, oh, gee, I'd like to start my own podcast about my job, well, you can. It's free and easy through podcasters.spotify.com. You can make your own podcast using just your phone. You can distribute your podcast all around the world, everywhere podcasts are listened to. Not just on Spotify, but it can be distributed through Apple Music and Amazon as well. And what's more than that is you can even use it to create ads like this one and make a little bit of extra money as a side hustle to your regular job. So what are you waiting for? Pull back the curtain at your workplace or at your school and use the power of podcasters.spotify.com to educate and organize.
Support for the PCTA Fire podcast comes exclusively from listeners like yourself. If you appreciate the work we're doing, please show your support by sharing the podcast on social media and leaving us a 5-star review on your preferred podcast streaming service. Thanks once again for tuning in, and without any more delay, let's start the show. In 2016, I graduated from USF St. Pete with a bachelor's in English rhetoric and the short-term goal of teaching the English language abroad. In my early 20s, I became engrossed in travel culture and wanderlust, and my long-term goals were mainly on a figure-it-out kind of basis. I had made a habit of saving up a couple grand every year and leaving the country for extended periods of time. So, it was of no surprise when I met my future wife and quickly made plans with her to teach in the country of Colombia, changing the direction of my life forever. She would soon join the Peace Corps, and I would find a job with a state-sponsored nonprofit, placing us about 4 hours apart on the Caribbean coast. But that's a whole different story. We moved home after the better part of a year to focus on our relationship. Getting a job back home was harder than expected, but with my determination to not end up working back in restaurants, I floated around as a freelance writer for a couple different marketing agencies. However, my wife ended up landing a language arts position at her mother's school. After making little to no money for a few months and living at home with my mom, it wasn't hard to convince me to go back into the classroom, but this time as a high school English teacher. It was time to move out and start my life. I always tell my students that I never wanted to be a teacher. It seems like a lot of work without a lot of reward. And the low salaries are nothing new to the career. In fact, I feel like I'm telling students the same stuff my favorite teachers told me. Don't do it. Don't become a teacher. But the truth is, I just kind of fell into it and I love it. And I feel like I'm pretty good at it. Sure, sometimes I work outside the classroom. Yeah, I come into work about an hour early every day, but it's still a choice that makes me feel like I'm doing something meaningful with my life, and that's what keeps me a teacher here in Florida. In the last episode, Dr. Anna Margiotta, Kelsey Donegan, and myself traveled by Amtrak from Tampa to Orlando to reach the 2023 NEA Representatives Assembly. I'm Brennan Pickett, and this is part two of a multi-series documenting our experiences as first-time delegates. After a long day of traveling antics, the first official day at the convention center came faster than we thought. None of us slept well, and the wake-up call was nice and early. The agenda for the day was not set to start until around 7:30 to 8:30, and end somewhere around in the late afternoon. After dinner, we would meet in our hotel room to record our final thoughts for the day. Here's us trying to explain our morning through Dungeons & Dragons.
Is it after a long rest or a short rest?
I don't know about long rest last night. It was after a short rest.
Okay.
A short, so not very restful rest.
Yeah.
We helped ourselves to some hotel room coffee and met with the Florida caucus at 7:30 a.m. The first hurdle we needed to jump was figuring out what participating in a caucus even looks like.
It's kind of like, you know how I'm always saying nothing is real.
This is good.
The concept of a caucus before felt very icky to me in a way, like almost inappropriate. Like a group of people are all deciding how they're going to vote. And, you know, but like, just because it's like, I feel like voting is very personal. Like you are deciding something based off of your experiences and beliefs. And I kind of made it more abstract in my mind. It is very cool to think about how we're deciding how like this pretend entity of the FEA is voting in this, if it existed as a being.
And what I like about it is that during our discussion in the caucus, we're learning about the bill and we're learning what different perspectives might consider it. So we're looking at different perspectives, and these are perspectives you're probably guaranteed to run into on the actual NEA floor. So you're prepared to almost debate that if you understand the argument, right?
And it's really nice hearing people in your own caucus, like in the Florida caucus, debating each other. They're mm-hmm. voicing their disagreements and the reasons for their disagreements. And also, yeah, it's not like we're forced to vote
not
with the caucus at all.
Yeah.
So it is, yeah, it does give a good perspective. I think, sorry, caucus. I voted, I think, with the caucus one time, actually, today.
Today, so. Yeah.
But we'll get to that.
You know what I like about the caucus, too, though, is let's just imagine you're not going to read all 90 or 82 items on the list, right? Which is very likely because it's, like, repetitive sometimes. The caucus condenses things. The caucus, you can be lazy. Let's say you really are focused on other things on the agenda and not the boring budget stuff. They'll take care of that. Like, oh, FEA says that? Sure. Or FEA said that? I definitely are going to say no.
Yeah, and like the people who do go up, like they say who they are and like why we like at least the people who are good at speaking to the room tell us who they are and why we should care about like what they are saying to us, right? So like you don't like you said, you don't have to really know anything about any of this, which is like how I came in. And like you get introduced by everything there, like in a smaller environment. I don't know.
And the last point I heard you make before we got here was that these are things brought up by union members.
Yeah.
It's not just like magic ball, like leadership stuff. They're pulling stuff out of a hat. It's people in locals all around the country have said, this matters to me. Yeah. I'm going to file something for it. And I'm going to debate it on a floor with 6,000-7,000 other educators. It's really interesting. Reflecting from my experiences at NEA a few weeks later, I feel like this is the best definition I could find online. A group within an organization or political party which meets independently to discuss strategy or tactics. It wasn't too different from any other bigwig FEA meeting, in my opinion. We were just deciding as a group which business items would be the best interests of Florida and prioritizing our energy towards passing these resolutions on the floor. As always, President Andrew Spahr presided over the meeting as chair, and we worked through a couple dozen items that would appear later during the assembly. Afterwards, we made our way to the convention center. Before we entered the actual assembly, we decided to check out some of the activities provided just outside the main hall.
Have you ever been to any conference before? Some of like some regular conference stuff? Like there was the car dealership there?
Yeah, we hung out. Anna and I almost stole a car.
We went and sat in the car and checked it out.
A brand new red Chevy Blazer.
What else did we do?
The Biden Rainbow.
The Biden Rainbow.
Have you guys ever been on a Biden Rainbow? Have you ever?
Fox News warned me about this.
Yeah, I was riding the Biden Rainbow the whole way through this convention hall.
The Biden Rainbow. They're okay, so they had this like activity thing set up. They had these like little cards and they had five locations and you had to get a sticker for each location. And like at each location you do a thing. And all of the things related to Biden, right?
Yeah, how great he is.
Yeah, one of them was like a quiz on like what things Biden has done recently, and it was all stuff to make him look like really great.
All the things he did. Just listed things he did. It didn't list the things he failed at.
Yeah.
It listed the things he did.
It was all
in a very specific context.
Yeah. Just the things he did. It wasn't lying to us.
It was not lying.
It was the truth.
There was part of it too, though. Like we made a phone call to, I can't remember who we called.
Oh, we called the Biden hotline.
We like said things that like we cared about. Like you leave a message about like stuff that you care about and whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I called it kind of Biden propaganda.
It was. 100%. Yeah. Realizing that the assembly had commenced, we made it to our seats and acquainted ourselves with our local delegates and the rules and procedures. Union meetings are typically run under the Roberts Rules of Order. It's what they use in the British Parliament to conduct business. There's a lot to unpack when it comes to using Roberts rules, but just understand that it's used to debate new business items that ultimately decide on whether we accept or deny them as a organization. The downside is your vote is in private, as you're outright screaming yay or no. So at times, we, Kelsey, Anna, and I, felt pressured from our caucus to vote a certain way or felt resentment towards our colleagues for the way they voted. The NEA tried to address this by providing handheld voting machines, but they quickly malfunctioned.
That's the whole thing is like, if your caucus says, hey, FEA is voting this way, part of what makes you feel comfortable voting against them when you think that's the right thing to do is you can just press a button. And fortunately, like for me, and I don't think anyone at FEA, I hope, I don't, it's a big organization, wouldn't make someone feel that there. I didn't feel any pressure from anyone. It felt very comfortable that we could all voice our opinions, but I can't speak for every state's caucus. Our voters in the actual NEA meeting today, like we have these little voting electronic machines that we can vote on. They stopped working essentially, and we had to go to a vocal vote and then for one of them, a standing vote. And it's hard for me to believe that that doesn't affect anyone's vote. The ability to vote anonymously versus the having to yell aye or no next to all of your coworkers and fellow delegates. And
because, like, honestly, I was judging some people. Like, there was someone who was sitting a few rows behind us who was, like,
very vocal,
very, very loud and always the opposite of me in the queer and, like, the Palestinian, you know? Like, it's like, ooh, it sounds like you might not like queer people back there. I don't know.
But I think it's kind of accepted that you just kind of speak your mind at those things. You're never going to see that guy again.
Not everyone, I think, has the same ability or comfortability to do that. Yeah. You know
it's
what I
definitely
mean?
Something to get used to.
Yeah.
The NEA prides itself on being extremely democratic when it comes to debating how it spends our money. So a lot of the work is done on the floor. This is contrary to AFT, where many business items are done in committee first before making it to the floor to debate. I'll be honest, I've been going to union meetings for a couple of years now, and I'm still learning the nuance of using Robert's rules strategically. However, it could be extremely frustrating since at times it felt the assembly was going nowhere. In some ways, these outings with union folk feel a little more theatrical than these earth-shattering budgetary moves to spread the labor movement around the nation. The overstimulation, it stung our patience.
It was a lot. I wanted to throw a tantrum at one point in the middle.
It was a fever dream?
It was fever dreamy.
Yeah. Fever dream?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like the school board meetings in the fever dream way that, like, sometimes it's just like, what is anyone even saying right now?
Yeah. The amount of people getting to the mic just to complain about their situation was staggering.
Yeah, it was a lot. I mean, I don't want to say that they're like, a lot of their complaints were valid.
Pretty valid.
Though.
We actually
like,
walked
they
around.
They should have done so. Over and over again, people went up, and it's like in between people making comments and arguments about like the actual business agenda, you know, the that we're doing.
They'll be like, hey,
just
we're
like,
gonna
in
vote.
Between those things, people will go up and be like, there are these technical problems.
It'll be like, hey, we're going to talk about how we're going to vote on whether or not Palestine's a place. And then people will interrupt and be like, I'm sorry, but the echo back here is just incredible. We can't hear. Is someone going to fix the audio?
And not even just someone. They're like asking the president, who's currently in the middle of talking to like 7,000 delegates. Could you go back in the tech booth and figure this out? Becky, please.
I can barely read the captions. What is going on?
She handled that really well.
She was really great.
It happened all the time.
So many times.
And then,
but like, it was also a mess. I did almost feel like maybe we should just stop for a minute or something, or like, I don't know, like, because like all three of us did walk around. You guys,
yes.
These two guys, they did it first because I did feel like a little like, these people are very complainy, but like both of them came back and they were like, it does kind of suck. So like, I walked around too, and it was
echoing. About echo. Their complaints were valid, but it's just the fact that they kept doing it. And like, I get like, especially watching today, we got through, I think you said 6 out of 82.
Yeah.
Items, 88 maybe
6 out
and
of 82.
We're out of here on Thursday, right? You know what I mean? Like, I kind of thought the same thing. Like, maybe you should stop, but there's no time to stop. All these, we all have to go back to our lives. We all have to, like, so we have to get through this stuff, and it's unfortunate, but it's also no one at NEA's fault.
It kept happening. It got to the point. I made the joke. I was like, Becky, I pooped my pants. What do I do? Like, it just wouldn't stop. And that's when the fear dream started. I was like, what? I was like, what are we even talking about right now? We were on this item and we jumped to a different, because they also kept bringing up past items.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's what made it so jarring, is because like you're going into this focus of these things that matter very heavily to people's lives. And then you're just cut with that.
Hello there. If you support the podcast, you can now donate directly to us from the link in the description. You can donate 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99 monthly. Your donation can help get me, Aziz, off the streets.
Well, unfortunately, Aziz will always be on the streets. He yearns for the streets. But your support will go towards producing high-quality episodes just like the one you're listening to right now.
Your support helps us keep gas in the tank, food on our tables, and our classrooms full of pencils and paper. We all know edumacators all over America are undervalued and underpaid. Help us, mooks like me, continue to bring recognition and a voice to education professionals.
Lunch soon approached, so we adjourned for the morning session. The rest of the day was spent on introducing the various items that caucuses all around the country had debated and taken a stance on. The first item we found interesting was MBI 1, a new business item requiring NEA to acknowledge the prevalence of discrimination and violence targeted at people who are perceived or identify as LGBTQ+. It lists several action steps for NEA to take to achieve this goal, and it would cost $583,400. Here's how we felt about it.
The NBI 1, the first one.
Yes.
our caucus was like, it was us, Mississippi and Alabama, right? We're the only ones who were against the first one.
Us, Mississippi, and Arkansas.
Oh,
Arkansas. No, I'm sorry. You're right. Alabama. It was Alabama.
Yeah. And it was on providing funding for like a whole bunch of like LGBTQ education type support. Very like good stuff. It was decided because the price tag was too high and there was language in it originally that said all states must do this. And they didn't think that it should be a must thing. The reasons that we decided to vote against it originally, like, made it even more embarrassing to me. Yes. Because it's like,
it was embarrassing.
We should put more money into this. Like, I don't care. Like, there are hundreds of anti-trans bills right now. Like, you need money to deal with that. So
it almost felt like they put this up in the first place to be like, hey, Florida, you need this, right? Like, this will, this is for you. And we were like, we're good, thank you. I feel like a lot of times we talk in very vague terms. Yeah, this is very pro LGBTQ, but it's good to hear exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So the proposal was for $583,400. And keep in mind, that's for the entire nation. That's not just Florida or our county. That's a budget for the whole country. And it says that the NEA acknowledges the prevalence of discrimination and violence targeted at people who are perceived or who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, and intersex. And then I'll go in. They're going to do, there's six main points of what they want to do to address that. They want to ensure a 2024 political strategy to defend public education and advance the vision and values of the NEA. And number two, in partnership with other organizations, they want to update guidance training for member and partner mobilization that presents a queer narrative and confronts and combats anti-LGBTQ legislation. Number three, in partnership with other organizations, making sure the school climate and culture is safe and welcoming, particularly addressing youth homelessness among queer students, as well as suicide and the need for access to gender-affirming care.
And there are like a lot of like actionable steps outlined in there.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's what I was trying to get at. Yeah, that's what he was reading. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I know that's like the boring, dry stuff to listen to, but that's also like, that's what's happening. You know what I mean? It's all good to say, like, mm-hmm. we like LGBTQ kids, but yeah, what exactly are we doing to help?
The second item that felt significant for us was MBI3. It requires that the NEA will use existing digital communication tools to educate members and the general public about the history, culture, and struggles of Palestine. This item would only cost $9,500.
And then there's Palestine.
And then there's Palestine.
Palestine. And I think it's important to acknowledge that, of course, I want to protect Palestine and Palestinian people and like bring awareness to that, or at the bare minimum, acknowledge that it's a place that exists, which came up later, unfortunately.
Which was the resolution. The new business item was basically saying, hey, we should recognize Palestine.
Yeah, that was the next one.
And that one sparked some controversy.
Yeah, that was like he's not even being super dramatic. That is pretty much what it was. Like, use existing digital communications to educate members and the public about the history, culture, and struggles of Palestine.
So this one guy comes up and he's complaining that they don't like gay people. So we shouldn't support it.
We just passed this first thing about helping queer people, and let's talk about Palestine for real. They, you know, it's a crime to be gay. And so we, and like I said to Kelsey, like, so that means we don't recognize Palestinians as human beings now. Like, I don't know.
And then he got owned.
Yeah, the next woman who came up, talked after him, I believe, was Palestinian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's like, I'm wearing a shirt that says, say gay. We're not a monolith. Like, yes, we're not all hating gay people.
But, and then we thought we passed it after that. Like, it was so like,
yes. Then we passed it.
And
we moved on.
It's important to mention, this is when the voting machines broke down and we had to move to audible yays and noes.
Correct. And then a challenger arrived.
Later.
Yeah. Way later.
Way later.
What,
like,
hour?
We're not even, like, it's not even the fifth one. We're on, like, the sixth one.
Yeah. We're talking about, like, amendments that would help kids with disabilities, I think, or somewhere around there. And
we've moved. And this guy's like, I'm sorry, but, like, I don't think you heard that vote right, Becky, president of NEA. So I don't think you heard that vote right.
And he wasn't being straight up like that. He was like, from back here, oh, like, yeah. It just sounded like that it was the same. Like, it really said, so, like, maybe we could do just, like, the electronic voting just for that one, just to make sure.
Yeah.
And she, like, stopped, like, she was like, so what you're saying, like, just to be clear, is you don't think that I called that correctly.
I love that. Yeah. Say what you mean.
Soft power.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Soft power. Yeah. And he did. He did pull back. He was like,
No, Miss Pringle.
That happens. And then another person does something similar. Someone else brought that up, too, about the vote. It was a woman. I forget who. Because his kind of died away, but then another woman brings up the same issue. I think we heard that differently back here, and it sounded pretty 50-50. I don't know, it sounded louder for the no's, so maybe you should redo it. So kind of wanting to squash this, I think, and move on with the division. Day. Oh, man.
Yeah, and division is, look, okay, we do a yay-nay. Me and Kelsey go, yay, but Anna's really loud. Anna's like, no. So the person in the front's like, let's do that again. And we'll go, yay, a little bit louder maybe. But Anna, real timber in their voice, right? No.
You know me.
And the halls shake. Well, then they're confused. They're like, okay, we'll do a thing called division, which means if you are for it, you're going to stand up so you can visually see it. We did audible. Now we're going to do visual.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty fun. I think we were waving our papers.
Yeah, too, everyone right? stood up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, look, you could tell.
It was
audible, it was not a close vote by any means.
Yeah, and she said that too. Pringle said that too.
Yeah,
like,
she said it was not
close.
And so almost the entire conference, a massive conference room. There's so many people and there's huge. Almost everyone's on their feet in support of this. And then she goes, okay, now can I have the nose stand? And it's like a baker's dozen
it was
of people. Laughably small.
It was very laughable.
And it was just, I was like, I hope you're embarrassed looking at this visual. Like, what did you think was going to happen making this play?
You made this all happen.
This is so obvious. And based
Union
award
game
for
of
sure.
cards.
Yeah, based award to Pringle.
Yeah, thank you for wasting all of our time with your hatred. Can we please move on now?
Yeah.
Literally, your hatred.
She was so good.
On the next episode of this multi-part series, we encounter more caucus, argue with bigots, and get lost in Robert's Rules of Order. If you enjoyed the episode, make sure you share it with your friends and family, subscribe, and leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or any streaming service that you use. Until next time, guys. Peace. To remind our listeners that the Pinellas County School Board has scheduled upcoming meetings for the following dates: August 22nd, September 26th, October 10th, and November 14th at 10 a.m., as well as August 1st, September 12th, and October 24th at 5 p.m. It is of utmost importance for teachers, parents, and community members to attend these meetings and actively advocate for public education. We would also like to emphasize that the PCTA is currently engaged in negotiations to secure higher salaries for our dedicated professionals. Your presence and voice at these meetings can have a significant impact in helping us achieve our demands and foster a better educational environment for all stakeholders in our public schools. We extend a special thank you to Philip Belcastro for providing our captivating theme music, and Artifact for contributing fantastic tracks during our intermissions. If you haven't already, be sure to check out Artifact's music at artifactjoints.bandcamp.com. Furthermore, we want to express a heartfelt gratitude to our dedicated staffers at PCTA, Jamie Beck and Brian Boughton, our esteemed executive director, Lindsay Blankenbaker, PCTA president, Lee Bryant, PESPA president, Nellie Henez, and all of our supporters within the podcast community. Your unwavering support and dedication has been instrumental in keeping us motivated for the challenges ahead. That's it for today. I'm Brennan Pickett. Peace out, guys.